Commentator Dagoberto Gilb is the author of two books of fiction. He worked in construction before he became a full-time writer. Being a writer is an occupation that he still finds takes some getting used to.
For many years, I lived and wrote in a solitude that wasn't just the usual, necessary quiet of every writer, the desk, the chair, the sealed-off room. I earned money in an inarticulate world that stretched out electrical cords in the morning, humped construction material, ripped and banged and drilled, then in late afternoon wrapped those cords up again, collected tools, drank beer and talked, never about books. Outside the room I closed myself in to write was the city of El Paso. 300 miles from everything, it is far away from much of what you take for granted, like bookstores. Which probably explains a lot of why my recent book tour seemed like an adventure to a new continent in a different time. Suddenly I was being accosted by these inhabitants, readers, who I always wanted to exist but conceived of more as fictional characters, not human beings. Sometimes these real people would approach me and ask questions. One was, "How did you become a writer?" They didn't mean it like that might sound, as in rhetorically, with a sarcastic overemphasis on you. I promise, they were curious in a complimentary way. And I couldn't easily explain the phenomena either. I told them that I suspected a disease. Now that I'm back in my El Paso solitude, I want to offer evidence of my insight. You might remember last month's news about President Clinton's Miami summit with the leaders of the 32 nations of North and South America. What you don't know about was a pre-summit gathering, a weekend a month earlier, in Washington, D.C. and Annapolis, Maryland, of artists, journalists, and scholars from the two continents. Among the 30 or so invited were Maria Elena Cruz Varela, the Cuban poet who spent 2 years in Castro's prison, Sergio Ramirez, current leader of the Sandinistas in the Nicaraguan National Assembly, and Father Gustavo Gutierrez, the Peruvian priest who started what we know of as the Liberation Theology Movement. Also included was Richard Rodriguez, the essayist, Seymour Lipset, the sociologist, Elena Castedo, the novelist, Stanley Crouch, the jazz critic, and me. Our first evening, we were all invited to Alan Tipper Gore's vice presidential residence, the Admiralty House. It was pomp and circumstance of categorical distance from my El Paso life, and as is my manner, my disease, I could not focus in on the appropriate specifics, like conversation. As others are getting to know one another, combining bites of hors d'oeuvres off silver platters and banter with ambassadors, I'm staring at the furniture, picture frames, or the casings around the doors and windows, the base and crown moldings. Mr. Gore directs us to a circle of chairs before we enter the dining room, and though I'm sure he's discussing this new moment in the Americas, the new opportunities that a group such as ours coming together symbolizes, I'm not hearing a word. Instead, I'm watching how he articulates, his mannerisms as they contrast against a window that, from my angle, is behind him. I'm looking at the shoes he's wearing, a black cowboy boot, and a Velcro cast that looks more like a hiking shoe, and I'm looking at how these others are listening to him. And I've also noticed that the circles have divided into semis that are not north and south. On one side, bland bureaucratic suits, dark blue and gray. On the other, artistic colors and patterns, yellow and red and orange and elegant black. At dinner time, when we're asked to interpret this event, while others seem to have outlines with like Roman numerals, all I can say is that I feel like I'm at a wedding. You see what I mean about my ailment. Another question that came up in the tour was, do you think all of this attention, the new world you're being introduced to, will affect your work? I always said no, I have too much material. But privately, the answer was just as much yes. Since I'd bought this house my writer room is in over a year ago, an old front door had been hanging there, ugly and getting even uglier, without even a threshold, waiting for me to replace it. So I drove my pickup to the builder's store. I haggled a $350 door down to $80, got out my level and square and tape and skill saw, pencil and chisel, the drill and the hole saws. I stained and varnished it. Not to sound too immodest, but I'm pleased to say the answer really is no. It has not affected my work.
Dagoberto Gilb is the author of The Magic of Blood and The Last Known Residence of Mickey Acuna.